Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here alongside my Fantasy Live podcast mates. MG Mike, Marcus Grant, what's up?
What's going on?
The Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, what's cracking, man?
Just getting rehydrated after being in the desert for Coachella all weekend.
I would have thought you were very hydrated.
Well, no, man, it just drains you out there in the sun, standing all day.
Sure.
Like, you get drained pretty quick.
Okay, I like it. Hey there, it's the return of the Fantasy Hall of Fame. What's up, Michael Fabian?
What's going on, boys?
All right, man, we got a big show in front of us here today. We're going to be talking about 2016 rookie quarterbacks. We're going to be talking about best and worst fantasy schedules. According to FPA, I'm assuming if you listen to this podcast, you know what FPA is. That's what I'm assuming. I don't think there's too many.
Hopefully not. It is fantasy points against, though. So
just in case.
The amount of points that were scored against a given team over the last season. And that's because last week we had the magnificent reveal of the NFL schedule
release show. What did they say? I saw some interesting thing. There's legitimately a trillion different options or something.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Now, I got to be honest with you. I know that they try to blow this up to be like some kind of like very complicated scientific. First of all, come on, guys. Half the games are against your division.
Well, you already know the opponents. You know, I mean, it's just all about when they're playing.
It's like, okay, these teams. How difficult can this be? I mean, do we need supercomputers?
I think they put in factors like they don't want teams traveling too far and too much distance.
Unless
in a
you're
row.
The Raiders.
Unless you're the Raiders.
Right, wasn't one of the teams that is going to China actually playing, or is it London, actually playing
it's going to London
the next week?
And they don't get a bye.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But they wanted that. They wanted a bye later in the year.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know
if it was the Jaguars. I don't remember who it was.
No, it wasn't them.
And I believe your beloved Cowboys have a stretch of like 3 games in 10 days or something crazy.
Wonderful.
Like that.
Wonderful. Hopefully Tony Romo's collarbone holds up.
It probably will not. So we will be taking a look at quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, possibly some tight ends as well that have the easiest schedules according to the 2015 schedule. And then we're going to get to the fantasy mailbag
What?
A lot of great submissions via the fantasy mailbag. So we'll get to that.
It's been a little while, so we got to hear from the people, you know?
Absolutely.
We're a podcast.
We are a podcast of the people.
And for the people.
And for the people. We got to hear from the people as well. And then, of course, we'll have daily daps. All right, well, let's get started, man. No, I know normally we do some news, but
there's not really much news that's fantasy relevant. And the big news that there was a trade for the number one overall pick really impacts our discussion on quarterbacks anyways.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Can I throw out – I threw this out on Twitter last night.
Okay,
there was a ton of people who responded to me. So just hear me out. I'm connecting the dots. So the Rams are going to take Goff at number one, right?
Okay.
The Browns wanted Goff, can't get him. They trade out of number two.
Okay.
Right? So Robert Griffin III is their quarterback. The Eagles trade up. They draft Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Doug Peterson is enamored with him. Loves him, right? Eagles don't need a quarterback. They trade Sam Bradford to San Francisco, so he's reunited with Chip Kelly. The Niners then, in turn, trade Colin Kaepernick to the Broncos.
Can I opt out of this deal?
Wait. I mean,
I don't want Sam. I mean,
is that out of the realm of possibility?
No, it's not. I think what you're saying is that that one move could set off a chain of events.
Yes.
That will be felt.
Yes.
What? That would be insane, huh?
Imagine that. Imagine. I mean,
like five or six different franchises.
Or they could just put Sam Bradford in the deal to go to the Browns if they do move up. And
that's a good point.
Then the Browns have a quarterback competition with those two guys.
If the
and
Browns,
then because, and we'll then because Sam Bradford is Sam Bradford, he's going to get a 10-year extension.
Or Brett Favre comes out of retirement.
Brett Favre.
Under this scenario, the Browns are just collecting underpreforming Heisman Trophy.
Well, no.
They just cut ties with Johnny Manziel.
Hey, there you go.
RG3 and then getting Sam Bradford.
I would say the Browns
Where
would have
is
to be,
Tebow?
The Browns would have to be stupid to take any trade that includes Sam Bradford, but I mean the Browns.
Let's get Sam Bradford.
The Browns, but they're just compiling picks. That's what they would be doing in this instance.
I would love to see them get Tim Tebow.
Oh boy,
Pair him with
man. They're gonna make Heisman House in Cleveland.
This is gonna be great.
That would be hilarious. All right, we should get into these quarterbacks though.
Oh my gosh.
Let's start
with Jared Goff.
Let's start with your boy James.
My guy.
Tell us about him. You're the one who watched him the most because you watched every Cal game.
I watched every Cal game that was possible. They didn't play on TV that much, but that's okay. But no, yeah, Jared Goff. I mean, look, there's a reason why he could possibly be the number one overall pick to the LA Rams. The kid's got great height. I refrain from using size because he's so skinny. That is something that you think that he's going to be able to put on as his career progresses. A lot of folks are a little bit worried about how thin he is, especially in the lower body. And I get that. I absolutely get that. For me, I think he's a smart guy. He's a guy that loves to get into the classroom. He loves film. And he's just a football nerd. That's what he is. He loves football. He thinks about football. He talks about football all the time. And I love his arm. He's got a very live arm, lots of arm strength, all the arm strength that you need at the NFL level. And that's, again, people who worry about arm strength, that's another thing that you can develop as a pro. It's not like you come out of the womb and you're firing off, you know, 90 mile per hour.
Yeah, and that's it.
Unless you're Brett Favre.
I know, unless you're Brett Favre. Exactly.
A lot of Favre talk in today's podcast.
Weird. If there is a concern, he is not a good bad weather quarterback.
No, and I like Goff a lot. Like you said, he's smart. It's his decision making and his anticipation that was seemed to be the most of these guys that I watched at the NFL level.
Very accurate.
And he's accurate. He'll stand in there and take a hit. He'll, like, there were a couple good, I forget which game it was, but he took a big shot in the pocket but hit a perfect deep ball. I think, too, he was a very accurate deep ball passer overall. I think he completed, like, 44% of his deep throws.
That's amazing.
Which is very good. And like you said, he doesn't have as strong of arm of Wentz, but he can make all the throws. He can get it outside the hash. He can go deep. So Goff's a good-looking guy. And if he were to land with the Rams, though, I mean, is anybody taking a shot on him?
No. I mean, he's like a DFS, matchup-based starter. But in real football terms, there's a lot of drama around this draft now because of what the Rams did and what could happen. I fully expect the Eagles to trade up to number two and get Wentz. So, but what's going to be the telltale of this draft is, are these players actually going to live up to expectations? Because typically, I would say more than 50% of the quarterbacks drafted in the last 10 years in the first round have been busts. I mean, we're talking about Robert Griffin III, right? Had a good rookie year, but he was a bust. I mean, EJ Manuel, Christian Ponder. You know, listen, the list goes on and on and on.
I mean,
the Rams are taking a huge risk, but it's dramatic and it's fun for the fans.
It's
the
funny
thing though.
Is, I disagree with you 100% on this. Mm-hmm. Both of these guys, Goff and Wentz, they are football nerds. They love this game.
So no other quarterback in the last 10 years was drafted in the first round.
Listen.
Are football nerds.
No, listen. They're not only are they football nerds, but they also have the skill set. Those guys you mentioned right there, EJ Manuel, everyone knew he was overdrafted.
Christian Ponder was
All right, wait. Let's go back. Really? Let's go back to Jamarcus Russell. I mean, Mike Mayock loved him.
Again, not a football nerd.
Okay, but I'm
not
saying,
a football nerd.
I'm saying everybody loved the guy.
So what I'm saying is when you combine the passion with the skill, I don't think either one of these guys, I don't think is a risk.
I could disagree with you more. I think these guys will be good, not great quarterbacks.
There you go.
I don't think there's you know, an Andrew Luck type guy in this draft. Although I will say, as you were running down the list of concerns with Jared Goff, I feel like their concerns that can be fixed, like, you know, worried about his frame and him being too thin. Look, an NFL weight training program consultant.
I know, you know? Exactly. When you're not having to study.
Right. I mean, you know.
For finals?
That can be solved.
Right.
You talk about him being a, you know, not a good bad weather quarterback.
That's right.
You know, I know one of the things, you know, Mike Silver here at the NFL wrote about how the Rams went out and watched him throw. It just happened to be a rainy day in Berkeley. He spun the ball well. They were really enamored. Not to mention the fact that, look, Troy Aikman was notorious for not wanting to throw a wet football. I mean, that was like his thing about, you know, making sure that the ball was dry all the time, and he found a way to succeed. So I think these are things that – this is what happens when you have that 2 extra weeks before the draft, because then you start nitpicking. Then you get stories about Teddy Bridgewater's knees not being wide enough. You know what I mean? Let's just draft already and get this over with.
That is such a classic draft story. It really is. Like, really? We're talking
these aren't wide enough. Exactly. Like,
thin lower
on.
Body. But I like Goff. I mean, for dynasty terms too, these are guys usually don't draft a lot of quarterbacks in a first round of a dynasty rookie draft anyways, but these are guys you could take a shot on if you need a passer of the future in like the second or third round.
I'd rather have Wentz because he can run with it a little bit. I mean, he had 12 touchdowns in his last 2 years with the Bison there, so he would be the guy that I would draft. But man, I'm telling you, it is for every Andrew Luck and you know he's had a couple of good years. We'll see if he can continue that after being a disappointment last year. You know, for every Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson, I mean, there's 10 guys out there like J.P. Losman and Christian Ponder and Akili Smith. So we'll see what happens.
Wow, he dropped a Japes Losman.
Remember him?
I remember him from his days at Venice High. Are you kidding me?
Oh, there we go.
Buddy. Wait, can I ask you about this? Whoever the Rams take, whether it's Goff or Wentz, doesn't this help Todd Gurley?
Yes, it should. I mean, hopefully this guy comes in and is a step above Case Keenum, who,
right.
as much fun as he is to watch on occasion, he's not exactly the most consistent passer.
Right.
But it's nice also, too, you get Todd Gurley, you get a young quarterback. Hopefully they get some wide receiver help later in the draft, too. Yeah. And
well,
they can start cooking.
I think
as much as you
may
can
have
cook
to...
in Jeff Fisher's offense. But.
I think you may have to wait until next year. To add some wide receiver help, I think you know it. Look, it'd be great if every team could address every need every draft. You can't.
There's some good guys that could take in round two.
Agree.
I mean, granted, they got rid of all their picks, so they'd be looking at somebody in round four. Or
That's
five.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. And I think they do have other needs as well.
The big winner, in this draft though, is going to be Marcus Mariota. Mark my words.
Why is that?
Because the Titans have six picks in the first 76.
Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying.
And they're going to use those picks, you know, obviously to improve their defense a little bit to help the offensive line and maybe grab a wide receiver.
Sure.
They could be a team that has more fantasy value than a lot of people might give them credit for, with Mariota potentially becoming more than a matchup-based starter.
I agree.
DeMarco Murray reemerging as an RB2, not an elite running back. Delanie Walker is always going to be right there in the conversation
sure.
at tight end. And a lot of people like Doriel Green.
Oh, I love Doriel Green.
So if you add a wide receiver to that mix, maybe it's not going to be one of the top five or six. We'll see what they do with that pick in the first round.
He's still got Kendall Wright there, too.
Yeah,
let's not forget him.
Contract year for Kendall Wright. Contract year for
– It's a contract year for Kendall Wright?
It is, yeah.
I'm investing heavily.
Whatever.
All right.
So they could add some weapons and they could add some help
unimpressed?
To the offensive line, and
MG,
Marcus Mariota could benefit.
What's up?
Yeah. Look, I tried to ride that Kendall Wright hype train for a while. I feel like we've seen the best of him. Whatever.
Marcus is salty this morning, but let's go to Carson Wentz now.
I like it.
Bison.
Think about Carson Wentz.
Okay.
You know, we just spent a lot of time talking about Jared Goff and kind of projecting him to the Rams, but I did see something interesting in that maybe the most successful season Jeff Fisher ever had as an NFL head coach, when he got within, you know, what, a yard or two of potentially a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
He had a quarterback who was a big, mobile guy.
From a small school.
From the FCS.
Uh-oh.
A small school.
Wait a second.
And Steve McNair. Could Carson Wentz maybe be that guy to help get Jeff Fisher back to the promised land?
You know, and I wonder, too, you know, I know there's a lot of reports, a lot of rumors right now about Goff going to L.A., but, I mean, we are in smokescreen season here. Are we not?
I mean, I wish the Rams would just come out and say it, but they're doing the draft thing and dancing around. Like, it would be great if they just came out and were like, this is our guy, we're going to take him. Cleveland, you're on the clock.
Be nice.
Yeah.
But they won't. But anyways, like Wentz, like you said, he's a bigger guy. Fabs mentioned he's got a little bit of wheels. He can run around.
Yeah.
When they talk about size, like he's got that prototypical build. He's like 6'5", like roughly 240. They always talk about like he's well distributed, which is a weird like the draft season gets really oddly specific with bodies and things like that.
Oh,
but
sure. Bubble.
You look at him, on the bubble. He looks solid throughout. He's a big guy. I mean, there's highlights of him trucking people into the end zone when he's running. And he's got a huge arm. The one thing with Wentz that he's going to have to get used to is adjusting to the speed of the NFL game, because he had the confidence. I was just watching him yesterday for Prospect Today, which you can read all our prospect things, NFL.com/prospecttoday. He's got the arm to beat cornerbacks and guys on out routes and on back shoulder throws. However, he's going to have to get used to not throwing against guys from, you know, Weber University and stuff. And when that's Patrick Peterson or Richard Sherman,
right.
if he's in the NFC West, or, you know, if he goes to the AFC North and he's thrown against, like, Jimmy Smith et al., like, he's going to have to be aware that those guys are bigger and faster and used to that.
I remember on yesterday's NFL HQ, Elliot Harrison had said that the last kid to come out of, you know, a non-D1 school and actually have success, who was a high draft pick, was Ed Tootall Jones. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Well, Joe Flacco did it, too, from an FCS school.
Yeah, Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Came out of Delaware.
Yeah.
Especially
he wasn't the number one overall pick.
Quarterback, too, yeah.
But there is to me, there's a little bit of cause for concern there as well. I mean, you mentioned Steve McNair coming out of Alcorn State. That's another example of a quarterback from a smaller school who did quite well in the NFL. And I like Wentz more than I like Goff because of his ability to run with the football. But neither one of these guys is lock, stock, and barrel guaranteed to be a solid NFL quarterback. These days, you know, those guys don't come out very often. I mean, how many times have we seen guys like Andrew Luck actually meet expectations in the National Football League? So I hope they both succeed. It'd be great for our fantasy analysis. But
what I absolutely love about Carson Wentz, he's got some advanced intermediate throws already. You mentioned that back shoulder. That is such an advanced throw.
Yeah.
But what he can't do very well is throw it deep, at least from the four or five games that I've seen of him. And that's the other thing about Carson Wentz. There's not a lot of tape on him because he hasn't played all that much. He had a big time injury that kept him out of a bunch of games. He wasn't the full time starter just to start out. So it's interesting. Not only does he come from a small school, it's also relative to some of these other guys.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a small sample.
Last year, he only threw just about 200 attempts, which in college is pretty small. And the year before was his better year.
Right.
His junior year in 2014, he had about 360 attempts, 25 TDs, 10 interceptions. So that's where he had the more complete tape. But yeah, I mean, he's another one of those guys that's just he's the people love the whole package and think they can mold him into the quarterback of the future.
If I could make a pro comparison, and I don't know if it's fair, but I'm going to do it anyways. He reminds me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger.
Big Ben and Blake Bortles are the ones that are thrown out too.
Sure.
The tall, like
big body,
like built guys.
I think
with
a good
arm.
Solid arm. And especially, I mean, you got to remember too, when Big Ben came out, he was not a polished thrower at all.
No.
He's not the Big Ben we see today, which is, he's amazing. Exactly.
Remember that Super Bowl? The Steelers
the Seahawks?
Won that Super Bowl in
despite
of what Ben Roethlisberger did. I think he had 9 completions in that game.
I think Seahawk fans, and there's very few old school Seahawk fans, but old school Seahawk fans will tell you the refs.
Yeah, yeah.
Help the Steelers.
Yep. Yeah, the holding call.
Sorry to pour salt on that win. All right, let's dive into.
Yeah, but they've done pretty well the last.
Right.
Three years.
Let's dive into Paxton Lynch and get on with our lives here. So Paxton Lynch. What's funny is we've kind of gone in like a. It's like the cell phone bars right now of height because we had Goff who's like 6'4", Wentz 6'5". Now we get to Paxton Lynch.
Right.
6'7".
And the dude can run too. He's got
to run
a little bit.
Yeah. He can move and he's good out of the pocket too. Like I haven't dove deep into him. I need to watch him more probably this weekend. But he's great, like on rolling out to his right or left. He can shift his feet and his hips and get good passes.
Right.
He's big, which you always like. I mean, that's, you know, they always want size to see over your offensive line because very few quarterbacks break that mold of being shorter and succeeding at a high level in the NFL.
There's very few Russell Wilsons and Drew Breeses of the world.
You got to be tall otherwise. So Lynch has that. He's got a good arm. And he's a guy that I know he has a lot of fans in the community. And his pro day, if you remember – like, pro days are normally, like, they're in shorts, like, it's perfect conditions and stuff.
Right.
The wind was whipping at Lynch's thing.
It was pretty rough that day.
And he was dropping dimes all over the field in there, like, going deep on deep outs and stuff like that. So he might have the best arm of the bunch in this draft. And it'll be interesting to see. A lot of people have him pegged as, like, a pick for the Broncos at the end of the first round. Or
if they don't get Kaepernick, right?
If they don't get Kaepernick.
The Bills
even if they do, why not get another guy? Yeah, right. Bills could. Somebody could trade back up. So Lynch is an interesting name to watch too in the dynasty circles, and if he gets a starting gig and gets with a good team, maybe somebody that has some streaming appeal.
I'll tell you what, if he gets down to the Jets, it could get dicey.
That could be interesting.
It could get dicey if he gets down to the Jets because again, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not signed.
An update this morning,
please.
Brian Hoyer, weather pending, is trying to get out of Houston. Well, he's obviously been let go by the Texans, but
right.
He's trying to get from Houston to New York to meet with the Jets.
Stop.
So if the weather in Houston obliges,
stop.
So yeah, I want Hoyer to go. I want Hoyer to go to the Cowboys, so we don't have to worry about drafting a quarterback. And we can actually focus on winning a division this year because it's right there. It's right in the cards. So you don't believe in Bryce Petty, huh? Bryce, he's done. The right. Jets, the Jets are done with him.
Hey, look, I
Geno
got
Smith,
I
done.
Got no, I got no
done,
say
right?
in this.
Done,
right, exactly.
Done.
Right. Yes. Okay. You hit it right on the head.
Fitzpatrick's got to go back there.
He does.
He's got to go back there.
You're right. No, you're right. No, you're right. You're absolutely.
No, I mean he's just he's trying to get every penny that he can get out of him.
Can I say this about Paxton Lynch? And this is what I love.
Sure.
His completion percentage has risen dramatically since his freshman year. 58% his freshman year, 62% his sophomore year, and last year almost 67%. Mm-hmm. That's really good. That is really good. Considering what they asked him to do, carry the ball, carry the offense, do all those things, to still be able to make the runs and also to be able to make the throws at a very high percentage, to me, is very impressive. And like you said, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the arm strength. He's such an interesting prospect.
He'll be a fun one to watch. I know I was talking about Goff and Wentz a little bit on Twitter, and Derek Klass, who's he's one of the guys of draft Twitter, not like he doesn't have a huge following, but he's a sharp mind when it comes to grading quarterbacks, said Lynch is actually his favorite of the bunch. So
I've heard that,
it'll
too.
It'll be interesting
I've
to
heard
see.
That.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I can't wait to watch round one of the draft, and especially if those two go early. And then, you know, there's all those other teams that could need a quarterback at the end.
There will be some drama on the back end of that first round when it comes to quarterbacks. I don't think there's any question about it. All right, let's talk about FPA, shall we?
Do some schedules.
Yeah, man, the schedule release show happened last week to great interest. And I know I was, kind of sort of making fun of the whole process because so much of it's predetermined. You got to just figure out when they're playing these guys. But that's okay. What we did was we kind of, and Mike, I know you broke this down. You've written a bunch of columns on this already, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
basically, analyzing 2015
right.
FPA. Now, I know, of course, there's a lot of off-season changes and a lot of different things happen in that time, but that's okay, man. Basically, how much change can you really make, right? I mean,
well, it's the same thing as strength of schedule.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
there's no question.
The Cowboys are considered a great matchup for 2016 based on 2015's 4-12 record, but that's not the case. So, but it's a nice gauge. It's not going to be the be-all, end-all
of who you should draft. It's a piece of the puzzle, is what I like to say.
Exactly, exactly. It's a piece of the puzzle, and maybe it helps you determine a sleeper, maybe a quarterback that's going to be a little too highly drafted because he's got some tough matchups.
Barring a coaching change, I'll say this. I honestly think that FPA is a better gauge than strength of schedule. Cause
yeah, I could agree with that.
I mean, barring a coaching change. But yeah, I mean, let's take a look. I mean, look, here's the thing. The NFC East, they're bad. Defensively, they're bad.
They were terrible.
They're so bad. And as a result, if you play in the NFC East, mm-hmm. you have a pretty favorable
score. Yeah.
Right. You've got every one of the NFC East quarterbacks are in the top 11 based on FPA.
That's amazing.
For a favorable schedule. Now, the New York Giants, I mean, they spend, what, $200 million
right.
in like 2 days
right.
on defense?
Sure.
So they should be better. But the Cowboys, I mean, they haven't done much to their defense, you know, before the draft. The Eagles, oh, the Redskins, oh. So we'll see. But it's very favorable. And then those teams, the Cowboys play the Browns.
Okay.
So that's going to be a favorable matchup. So you could legitimately, if you put your faith in FPA.
Okay.
You could wait to draft Tony Romo until after probably the eighth round and not take a quarterback.
Right.
And then.
Unless you're playing in Dallas.
Having the faith that the collarbone holds up, he could end up being a top-10 fantasy quarterback easily.
Can I just say
next
this?
Season?
There's a 0% chance he stays healthy. A 0% chance.
If I get the waiting until the eighth round or ninth round to get Tony Romo.
Heck, 10th round maybe, yeah.
I would back that up with another quarterback immediately.
Oh, sure.
Like,
no, that's
I would go
do.
I would go back-to-back quarterback.
Take Eli Manning, too, because
right,
he's got Beckham.
They're
probably going to take another wide receiver relatively high since they just spent all that money on defense.
Right.
And also what's nice about something to remember about these teams that were more towards the bottom of the NFC East is like, while Washington has a favorable schedule, they also have to play all the best teams of the other divisions, like
yep.
the Packers, the Steelers, everything like that. The other teams get to dodge that a little
right.
bit. So, like, Eli Manning could be a good one.
The Giants could get Treadwell. They could get Doxon because
yep.
those receivers are going to be available when the Giants are up. Treadwell's stock has fallen a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So the Giants could end up being the first team that Treadwell's drafts a wide
round
receiver.
That's the rumor now is that he's going to slip into round two.
Ay, ay, ay. It's because he had such a poor showing at the combine.
The 40. And like Marcus said, this is draft season. People are starting to overanalyze and nitpick.
I guess back to that again, though. I mean, all the talk at the combine was if he runs in the 4-6 range, it's not going to be a big deal. It's not going to hurt him.
But
he runs in the 4-6 range. Now it's a big deal. And he's going to fall in the second round.
Well, I think they were expecting – look, if you're going to run in that 4-6 range, that's fine. But you got to show me other areas to be athletic, whether it's the vertical, whether it's
press. He has some short. He's the short area quickness, and I mean his vert wasn't out of control, but he's got long arms and a big body, and he still wins that.
See,
race,
this is a fun time of the year. It's when the National Football League and real football and fantasy football are very close because these GMs. They're us right now, okay? We have our tools. We have strength of schedule based on FPA. You know, we can look at tape. We have our tools. They have their tools, the scouting combine.
Yeah.
You know, they have the pro days and that kind of thing.
Right.
They're all just trying to make the best possible position decisions for their teams right now. And some teams are a little bit down on Treadwell at this point.
Yeah.
There's going to be players that fantasy owners are a little bit down on as we get into the summertime. It's all the same.
All right, very quickly, quarterbacks. Who has the best schedules?
Tony Romo. And the Cowboys have the best schedule at quarterback, running back, and they're right up there near the top at wide receiver. Matt Stafford has a very favorable schedule.
Do not want.
Yeah, that's not going to – see, like we were saying, it's a piece of the puzzle. I'm not – this is not going to turn me into drafting Matt Stafford.
Eli Manning is right there. Aaron Rodgers with Jordy Nelson back, bounce back year.
And he's got a top five.
And he still had a good season last year, but
he's got a top five easy schedule.
I still love that. Rodgers, I mean, it was a down year for him, but he threw like 30-some touchdowns and 8 interceptions. People were like, oh, God.
It was a down Aaron Rodgers.
Well, right.
Teddy Bridgewater is tied there with Rodgers, although I don't know who he's throwing the football to at this point. Jay Cutler's up there. Again, not a big fan. Kirk Cousins, though. Joe Flacco could end up being a pretty useful.
You like that?
I do like
you
that.
Like that.
Joe Flacco could end up being a pretty useful matchup-based starter coming up next season. Favorable schedule. They add Mike Wallace. Steve Smith is back. Brashad Perriman, we hope, is going to be there.
Hey, well, don't sleep on Kamar Aiken, man.
Kamar Aiken is in there.
That's for our boy Matt Franciscovich.
They also have a whole lot of decent tight ends with Ben Watson. So, you know, and who's the offensive coordinator there? Mark Trestman. So they could potentially throw the football a little bit. Yeah, and their running game is questionable right now.
I'll tell you this, based off of what you just told me, I love Eli Manning. Kirk Cousins just outside of the top five at number six.
Mm-hmm.
But Rodgers, though, a top five easiest schedule. He's
on
getting Jordy Nelson back.
On a revenge tour with Jordy Nelson back.
That might make him the first.
Oh! And Jared Cook.
I think.
Stop it, you.
If there was
you had me rolling.
I liked your reaction. I know. That's why I slipped it in. James is getting all ready, all excited. And
how many times does Jared Cook have to burn you before you just, you know, wipe your hands of it?
Man, this is the last time.
This is it. It's now or never.
If Aaron Rodgers can't turn him into a usable fantasy asset, it's done.
It's now or never.
It's done.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't believe in Jake Locker, huh?
No.
No, okay.
All right, let's talk some running backs here.
Yeah, please.
Fabs, run us through the top of the list.
Well, right at the top of the list, whoever you think is going to be the starting quarterback, running back in Dallas, Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, or maybe Ezekiel Elliott.
How about Derrick Henry? Top of round two.
Yeah.
That could happen. Doug Martin's got a favorable schedule.
I like that.
Thomas Rawls. He's got some really easy matchups coming up. Amir Abdullah, James and I did some stuff on NFL Now. Okay, Amir Abdullah, he's going to be in a committee. Boy, how things have changed with him. Rashad Jennings at number five, although the Giants could potentially draft a running back. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Langford at six. Hey, that's real good news, but did the Bears go after a running back in the draft?
They will.
Jonathan Stewart, and then DeMarco Murray at number eight.
Ooh,
I like
that is going to help his value. Peterson 9, Lacy at 10. So Lacy's got a very good schedule, and he just dropped like 15 pounds.
Another picture came out, guys.
And he's in a contract here.
Right. Oh, but it was that picture, James. We were laughing about this. The picture, I think it was from Jason Wilde. He's a WILDE. He's a great beat reporter for the Packers. But somebody had like tweeted it, and he quote tweeted it. But it's a picture of all the Alabama running backs. And like, Eddie Lacy's a big guy.
Yeah.
Even though he's trimming down.
Right.
He was standing next to Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
Derrick
I saw
Henry
this. I
made
saw
him
this.
Look like a child.
Well, it Derrick was Henry was here on our campus.
Yeah, we saw him. He is
enormous.
And you know, in that same photo, so we saw, you know how Mark Ingram was
looking
at the national championship game, and everyone was making fun of him about how he looked like Derrick Henry's little brother. He looks like he – I think he took that to heart, man.
He's getting yoked up top.
I honestly think he read Twitter and was like, yo, bro, I got a lift, like, right now.
Deep down inside, he had the crying Jordan.
Also, I think he's had a couple shoulder injuries recently, too, so maybe he's like, I'm going to beef up this upper body.
Dude, I'm telling you, he hit the protein shakes hard.
No, so I'm going to go back, though, for a second. Okay, he went through the list. DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think he stays falls to the third? Does he go in the second now? I mean, I'm scared.
Let's say he goes in the second round. Is he still – is there value to be had there?
I don't think he's going in the second round.
No, he's got to go later, guys.
I think he's got to go.
All right, I feel better. I'm just wondering if like this hype train's going to start rolling.
I don't think it's a slow. If it's a hype train, it's slow. It's like a train being pulled by Mike Allstott or something.
Mike Allstott.
You guys remember when he did that back in the 90s?
I do.
Mike Allstott was my favorite. Boy, I have no flex starter to play this week. I'm going to plug him in and hope he scores two touchdowns.
Allstott gets into the touchdown.
Right, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, the neck roll was the best. Who is the starter, in your minds, very quickly, in Dallas?
Right now, it's Alfred Morris.
Right now, it's Darren McFadden.
Right now,
I don't believe that. I mean, we'll see. I think Alfred Morris is
all right.
The guy.
MG?
Does it matter?
Why?
Because they're going to split. I mean, it literally is going to be.
Is there enough? Okay, look, I'll say this. Dallas has the easiest FPA schedule for running backs based off 2015. Mm-hmm. Dallas RB, fill in the blank. Will have an easy schedule. Is there enough, given the schedule and given the offensive line, for both guys to eat?
No.
I mean, they're both third running backs for me on my roster.
Heck, I mean, maybe fourth for me. I don't know. I'm afraid of the committee. I'm afraid of, if Derrick Henry ends up in Dallas, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, if they go and
that's
draft
a mess.
Running back.
But just keep in mind. That if we're looking like dynasty leaguers or if we're looking a little bit ahead, you know, Alfred Morris is on a 2-year deal. McFadden, his last year under contract is this year. Lance Dunbar is also
he's there
a 1-year deal
he's,
guy.
He's also. There. Did you see the reports that he also tore his patellar tendon last
year?
Nah,
he's and it's too bad because he was catching passes.
He was so
like
good last
year
to start the season.
He was great. Yeah, he was great. So. Even if the Cowboys have a committee this year, looking forward, if they draft one of these young running backs, look out.
All right. Do want to very quickly talk about Ameer Abdullah.
You do?
I came on to NFL Now.
I still believe.
Yeah, I came on.
Well,
and
really?
That's why I want to talk about it because I came on to NFL Now yesterday and basically said, look, given his price, and I think he's going in the 7th or 8th round right now, I don't want him. I really don't. I know that's not a heavy price to pay for a starting running back. I get that. I think the fumbling issues still concern me greatly. If you were to basically project out his fumbles, he had a fumble, not a fumble loss, but a fumble every other game. That's not good. And given the carries I'm talking about, I was basically, if you were to expect the guy to carry the ball, I don't know, 20 to 25 times a game, it would basically be every other game you could expect to see Ameer Abdullah drop the rock. That's not good. I think Theo Riddick still being there takes away from one of the strengths that Ameer Abdullah has, which is catching the ball out of the backfield. Mm. I know that there's going to be a lot of folks still super high on Ameer Abdullah.
Let's put together the reasons why we liked him last year. Okay, Joique Bell, we didn't know what his status was because he was coming off of the knee.
Right.
He was probably on his last legs.
Yeah, and now he's gone.
We underrated Theo Riddick. Oh, a lot of people underrated Theo Riddick.
Absolutely.
And so Ameer Abdullah looked like the guy. And then when we saw that week one performance against the Chargers.
Bring it on.
Everybody's just radar went nuts, right?
Right.
And then he fell off, you know? So now you've got Stephen Ridley. You've got Theo Rick, who was second in pass catching in terms of receptions last year among running backs. This is probably a committee. This is probably a committee.
MG, tell me why you believe.
I still believe that he is the guy they drafted to be their lead running back. And Theo Riddick is a nice number two. Stephen Ridley is a body. Stephen Ridley is a body right
Former 1,000-yard rusher, right?
Yeah, he's a body.
Former 1,000-yard.
I know. And he's not an old dude, and he's had basically 2 years to recover from the ACL.
Stephen Ridley is a body.
Okay.
Zach Zinner, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he had a really bad injury, too.
He did. I still think Ameer Abdullah is that guy. And I think we've gotten to a point now where if you don't pop in your first year, then suddenly everybody thinks that you're just not going to. I mean, I think Ameer Abdullah is going to take a step forward this year. I think Melvin Gordon is going to be better in San Diego this year. I think there are a lot of these guys who we overhyped coming into last season expecting huge things, and it didn't happen. And I'm still formulating this theory. Just bear with me as I talk this out loud.
Okay,
but, I mean, I'm almost wondering now, as the league transitions to a passing league more and more, are we going to start to see from running backs what we saw from wide receivers in the sense that wide receivers took 2 or 3 years to finally get going?
Okay.
Because teams didn't emphasize the passing game quite as much. Now that teams are de-emphasizing the run, is it going to take guys 2 or 3 years to really get going at the running back position? Because you're not going to come in as a running back and get 25 carries.
Okay.
You're not going to get those 30 touches. So now you've got to work your way in. So I still believe Ameer Abdullah, like I said, Melvin Gordon, a lot of these guys who in the first year didn't do what we thought they were going to do,
are
going to start to get a little.
Where would you draft Melvin Gordon?
I think if Melvin Gordon's still hanging around in like the 6th round, I'd definitely grab him.
Wow.
Also in working in Amir's favor is that the offense in Detroit really settled once Jim Bob Cooter took over about midseason.
Old JBC.
So the last 8 games, Amir had 4 games with 10 carries. He also had 3 games with 60-plus yards. He only had 2 games with 10 or more carries in the first 8 games, none with 60 or more yards. So he started to get his touches, and now with Drake Bell out of the picture, because he shouldn't have been getting touches anyways last year. Loved Drake Bell back in the day. He was washed last year. He's not going to be dynamite, but if you're taking him as your 3rd, 4th runner in the 7th round, I'm all about that. I'll
Jim
love
Bob
to take that
Cooter, he was in the Dukes of Hazzard, right? Like before he became an offensive coordinator.
He was a buddy of Bo and Luke Duke.
I love that name.
Didn't Joyke Bell tell us last year he was going to run for 1600?
1200, I think.
1200, that's what.
Yeah. Ouch. Wide receiver. Fabs, walk us through who has the easiest wide receiver schedules.
Well, again, right up there near the top, the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure.
It's ridiculous. It really is. How favorable their schedule is, and we'll see if it pans out. But number one, if you needed another reason to draft Antonio Brown as the maybe 3rd or 4th overall player,
all right,
he's got the easiest schedule. The easiest schedule among wide receivers. Dez is 2, A.J. Green is 3, and again, here's the trend, right? It's the AFC North players. Steve Smith Sr., Josh Gordon, or Brian Hartline, or whoever. OBJ at 6, right? NFC East. Brandon Marshall, Jarvis Landry, DeSean Jackson, NFC East. And Alshon Jeffrey at number 10. Alshon's going to bounce back. I think he's going to have a huge year. For all intents and purposes, he's in a contract year. But when he played, he was good.
Right.
So we'll see. But
when he played, he got pummeled with targets from Cutler.
Yeah.
Like, he literally got 11 or 12 targets a game when he was healthy.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of big names in that top 10. A lot of big names.
The name I see there, too, Dez Bryant. Did want to talk about Dez.
Mm-hmm.
He had an off year last year, obviously.
Oh, my
He was dealing with injury.
Week 1.
Right, exactly. Broke his foot week 1. Somehow came back and played before DeSean Jackson. Makes no sense, but that's okay. but Dez Bryant, where does he go in drafts? Is he going to fall to the 2nd round?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Second round's not falling.
I think
he's there.
That's about where he belongs.
Yep, that's where he's going to go. I would draft him ahead of Allen Robinson.
Yes, I mean, just –
Would you?
I would.
And I like Allen Robinson.
I would. I like
Robinson's not scoring 14 times again.
I like A-Rob a lot, but I agree. I would take a healthy Dez Bryant over Allen Robinson.
No doubt.
But a healthy Dez Bryant with an unhealthy quarterback situation?
Listen, Romo's going to go in healthy. I mean, listen – You know, hopefully the Cowboys do something to back him up, and they have to.
Right.
Are they going to end up winning 4 games again if Romo can't stay healthy? But
he's broken the collarbone twice in what?
Right, but he did have a procedure that is supposedly going to stabilize and strengthen that area so he doesn't have that same issue again. We'll see what happens.
I don't know, man. A couple of different orthopedic doctors that I talked to basically said it's not likely that him playing the game of football, it does not necessarily.
So you're telling me you don't believe in Kellen Moore, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I guess that's the question mark here for Dez Bryant. If you were to tell me Tony Romo was going to play 14, 15 games, I'm all in on Dez Bryant. I'm all in on Dez Bryant. I just don't see that happening. And the backup quarterback situation there in Dallas scares the living bejesus out of me.
Oh, yeah.
So and that's why I would much rather have an Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm. To me, I'm still going Dez. I think I have Dez 1 spot ahead of A-Rob.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. How about at the tight end position?
Tight ends at number one is Travis Kelce. How about that? Travis Kelce, who, I mean, if you look at his numbers last year, you're thinking, oh, yeah, a pretty good season, but he was so inconsistent.
Yeah.
He drove you absolutely nuts. Now, I'll give you the top guys at Kelce. Greg Olsen is two. Austin Seferian Jenkins is three. Oh, boy, here we go. Alex Gailhart. Jared Cook is number four. But Kobe Fleener at five. I'm telling you right now, Kobe Fleener is going to be one of the best draft values in fantasy football at tight end.
Interesting.
Six, Ryan Griffin, no one's drafting him. Seven, Antonio Gates. Eric Ebron at eight. Jacob Tammy at nine. Virgil Green at 10, because we don't know who the Broncos tight end. But at the end, at the bottom is where it gets interesting. Ladarius Green's got the hardest schedule. I don't care. I'm still drafting him. I love him. Rob Gronkowski, second hardest. Don't care. Drafting him.
Right.
Tyler Eifert has got the fifth hardest.
Interesting.
And Gary Barnage.
The Barnyard Dog?
Has the sixth hardest. So
no!
So there is some. You know, there's some tough schedules for some of our bigger names, but overall, that tight end position is loaded, and last year we were saying it was anemic, so we'll see where that falls in 2016.
So I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Like, we were disparaging Jared Cook, then the next name on that
list. Because it's Jared Cook!
Now, hold on. The next name on that list is Kobe Fleener.
Kobe Fleener was a top 10 tight end just 2 years ago. Last year, his quarterback was out for all.
Yeah, Kobe Fleener's also been terrible for 4 years.
Wait a minute. He's
been bad.
2 years ago, he had real good numbers.
No,
real good numbers. He had eight touchdowns.
Yeah, that anybody can fall ass over tea kettle and eight touchdowns.
So he's not better than Ben Watson?
Ben Watson's a better player.
No.
Yes.
Kobe, the Saints have had a top 10 fantasy tight end for five straight years. I know Jimmy Graham was one of them. Watson did it last year. Fleener will do it this year.
The opportunity is there. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying that the opportunity is also going to be there for Jared Cook to be JerMichael Finley 2.0, who, when he would have been healthy, was a top five tight end. I'm just saying, like, situations are there.
Are
but
we really debating Jared Cook versus Kobe?
I just wanted to throw it out there.
Is this happening?
I just wanted to throw it out there because they're both like big, talented guys who've never achieved their potential.
Now you know we're talking about
Fleener had almost 800 yards and eight touchdowns 2 years ago, and last year's quarterback was hurt.
Now you know we're talking about.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Welcome to the podcast, folks.
So I like him, dude. I like Fleener a lot in New Orleans.
Oh,
I like him.
I love his opportunity, but I do not like the player.
Hey, man, let's get to some mailbag questions.
Let's do it.
All right, the first one from Michael Donovan.
For you, son.
Great Twitter handle. MD in MD. I'm assuming he's in Maryland. Hashtag fantasy mailbag. Which second year player should we expect the biggest improvement from and target in our drafts?
That's
which
good.
Second year player?
Yeah, see, to me, I'm not sure yet because I got to see what happens in the draft. Do the Bears continue to ride?
Well, who do you
Jeremy
like
Langford?
Right now? Who do you like right now?
I mean,
now?
Like Thomas Rawls. You know, obviously I like him. The second year wide receivers, if you think about it, we don't know yet. So I love Devontae Parker.
Very few of them played as rookies.
Right, exactly. Kevin White was hurt. Rashad Perriman was hurt.
Okay.
We had a lot of guys that were injured. I love Parker, though. And Marcus Mariota. If the Titans do right by him in the draft, I'm telling you right now he's got a chance to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback next year.
All right, there you go.
No question.
Wiz?
I mean, it depends like what we want to say. Like, I think Amari Cooper's going to be great. Todd Gurley is going to make a jump. Like, we're thinking about him at 101. Excuse me. Otherwise, I still don't mind Amir Abdullah, like we were talking about. And somebody to keep an eye on, sneaky, we mentioned Dorial Greenbeckham. I really like him.
Yeah.
But Ty Montgomery for the Packers.
Interesting.
If he's able to get right, because he had a pretty bad injury, before he messed up his ankle, he was starting to come on and surpassing Devontae Adams for
big
targets.
Big physical guy.
So you're not into Jeff Janis and Aberderis.
I can say, what happened to Jeff Janis,
man?
We're talking second-year players, guys.
but he's going to impact Ty Montgomery's
targets.
There's
so many guys right now at Green Bay.
I'm just saying he's one to watch, other than those other guys that I said. And also, another name, we'll get to him a little later, Clive Walford in the Oakland offense.
Deep sleeper.
Give me Clive. I love me some Clive Walford. Bonnie and Clive Walford? Yeah, buddy.
Bonnie and Clive Walford.
I love
it.
All right, next mailbag question.
You got mail, baby!
What is this Twitter? Narcisse Lay?
I liked it. And it's at Brett Gnarly.
Brett Gnarly. What? This guy's winning Twitter, dude.
He's having some fun on Twitter.
I like it. He asks, Kevin White keeper/draft value heading in.
Very open-ended question.
Yeah, that's very open-ended. I mean, I think he's a guy, draft value-wise, you can wait until the mid-rounds to get him just because, I mean, you want to talk about another guy who...
He's going double digits.
Another second-year player who was an unknown quantity because he didn't step foot on the field at all. I mean, the hope being, one, he's completely healthy, but that Alshon Jeffrey on the other side draws so much attention away from him that he gets a lot of one-on-one matchups. Now, I know that our own Maurice Jones-Drew says he's not quite so big on Kevin White, thinks he was sort of a one-year wonder at West Virginia. But
he's a physical freak, though.
That's the thing. Is that, I mean, I think pairing him with Alshon, two really big receivers, I think is a plus. So I think, I think if you can wait till, like you said, maybe the double-digit rounds to pick him up. I think keeper, I don't know that I would,
Depends on how many keepers, but
I don't know that I would hold on.
He's not on the top of my list, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, next mailbag question.
Mail it in.
All right. Kai Jenia? I don't know. It doesn't matter. at NFL Fantasy, of the wide receivers on new teams, who offers the best value? Wide receivers on new teams, best value.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think off the top of my head right now, I'd probably lean Marvin Jones.
Marv Jones!
But I'm not going to reach like super high for him or anything. No. But I'm not a fan of Mohamed Sanu in Atlanta.
No.
And
no.
Some of the other top guys stayed put, so I think I'd probably...
Well, Travis Benjamin?
You remember, wide receiver was... The free agent class of wide receivers was not...
It was not very huge to begin with.
Not all that great.
Not great.
So I'd have to agree...
it's either Travis Benjamin or Marvin Jones, right?
Yeah. I mean, Marvin Jones could potentially step... I don't think he will, but be the one there. I think it's going to be Golden Tate.
No, Tate's the one.
But... Marvin Jones is going to have ample opportunities. Let's just put it that way.
Like I said, he's on my very early list for potential March to 1100 guys. Very early.
Oh, man.
I got to see what they do in the draft.
Start out here, huh?
I
love you go to the Cal well for it, James. That'd be awesome.
But I generally have not. I mean,
this will be the first
one. This will be the first one.
I know. That's so what I'm saying. I'd like to see it.
I know. I'll be pulling for him hard. All right. So let's go. SB5. Oh, actually, give me that sounder.
You got mail.
SB5, at shadow underscore 579. What's the 579? Anybody?
Area code?
Area
maybe?
Code, maybe?
No, I know, but where is it?
Let's go to the Google.
All right. You go search for that. I'll read the question. At Alex Gilhart, what's happening with Arian Foster? I have him in a keeper league.
It's Quebec.
It's Quebec.
If that's where he's from.
Nice.
Okay.
Maybe he just likes 579.
I have Arian Foster in our Dynasty League, and I would like to know, too. He's not going to sign with a team until... I mean, probably right around training camp, maybe a little before, because he doesn't want to sign with the team until he can show that he's 100%. Teams aren't going to take a chance on a running back, despite his talent, that has had so many injuries over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, wherever he signs, he could really wreck somebody's value.
Oh,
like,
sure.
For example, say that he goes to Seattle.
Let's say he goes to Oakland.
I mean, ugh. So this is something that can happen. Now, right now, as we stand, yeah. I would say the only team that desperately needs a running back is Miami, and you could even argue if you like Jay Ajayi, that's not the case. Wherever these running backs go, wherever a guy like Arian Foster signs, that's going to blow up that backfield a little bit.
Like I said, I'd love to see Arian Foster go to the Colts. I would. I think he and Frank Gore can.
Man, that would be like the oldest running back.
It would be.
It'd be good.
No, but it'd be good for both of them, though.
See, I was thinking Denver, but now that they re-sign Hillman, I don't see that happening.
Barf, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Why? Denver, why?
Well, they needed a backup CJ.
With Ronnie Hillman?
Yeah, but now we're going to give Hillman – we're going to get 6 games of Hillman getting 15 carries.
I know!
And CJ Anderson owners are going to be shouting at the heavens, and it's going to be all this again.
But, yeah, I'd love to see Arian Foster go to the Colts. That'd be cool. How about – give me another mail sounder.
Get that sandwich out of your pie hole and listen up, maggot. It's time for mail call.
Riley Moreau at Riley Moreau. Very innovative. Is
no
Devontae,
nonsense. I like that.
I like it. It's very straightforward. Is Devontae, I'm assuming he's talking about Devontae Freeman, considered a safe RB1? Got him as a keeper, so should I pursue receivers?
Okay, safe?
Safe RB1.
Nothing is safe in fantasy football. Had we not learned anything from last year?
Well, I think what he's asking really is... What is happening in that backfield? Because as good as Devontae Freeman was, a lot of his value was predicated on the early season touchdowns.
On three games.
The rampage
where he went
nuts. Crazy.
He still scored double-digit points in almost every game he was the starter for. Which is our barometer.
And I thought he looked good.
Him finishing number one overall is predicated on those 10 touchdowns in three games or whatever. But he was still a very good running back for the whole season until he got his concussion. I'm going to say, because he's got him as a keeper, he's not giving up a huge pick for that guy, unless it's depending on where they finish and not where you drafted him.
Right.
But so if it's where you drafted him, because I'm guessing you took him in, round 8 to 12 somewhere.
Hold on to him.
Keep him.
Hold on to him.
And go get yourself a wide receiver at the beginning of that draft.
Let's
sure.
focus on the first part of the question, though. A safe RB1, because Tevin Coleman lurks.
He lurks.
Tevin Coleman is a guy that the current management did draft. They liked Tevin Coleman a lot, and Tevin Coleman did look good in the first game in the game and a half that he played. I guess that is in my mind. I think that's what he's asked.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that, but I also think that right now, after what Devontae Freeman did last season, that he's ahead of Tevin Coleman. I mean, I just think, how do you take a guy who was as good as Freeman was all year and suddenly tell him, hey, bud, you're in a competition now?
Yeah,
I think it's his job.
Just keep in mind, and I wrote a column on this, fantasy points per touch.
Yeah.
And last year he was 15th, which is, middle of the road for the top 32 running backs. He averaged over a fantasy point per touch during that four-game stretch where he scored 9 touchdowns.
Okay.
In the 11 games than those, he averaged 0.52. And
not good.
0.52 wouldn't even get him into the top 40. So just keep that in mind. When you have a player who broke out, and Freeman was great. I had him last year. He was great. But when they've got a 3 or 4 game ridiculous stretch, it's the same thing as Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin's not doing that again, my friends. He's not doing that again. He's not scoring 14 touchdowns again. That concerns me just a little bit. I still say he's a late first round, early second round pick.
Okay.
But you're right. Tevin Coleman does loom, and Freeman maybe nicks up his ankle in a game. Coleman comes in and blows up and has a great game.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're freaking out.
Sure.
Because of what the running back position is, he's still going to go top 15.
Okay. Would you agree with that, Bryce Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm comfortable with it. I'm not too concerned about his fantasy point per touch dipping because, he did score his touchdown in bunches. Those are fickle beasts.
Yeah.
And he was only one of a handful of running backs that had over 300 touches, too. So to get that kind of volume and still produces it, it's obviously going to suffer, fantasy point per touch. And let's not forget, Matt Ryan was terrible last year, and that offensive line was nothing to write home to mom about. So now they've got Sanu, and hopefully they draft another wide receiver.
Alex Mack.
Things could open up a little bit. Mack, things could help him out a little bit. So
I agree with that.
Fab said, nothing is safe, but late first round, you should be okay with that.
All right, next mail question, please.
Get that sandwich doubled out of up your on this pie one. Hole and listen up, maggot.
It's a good
it's
one, though.
It's time for mail
it
call.
It is. Neil Dutton asks, any thoughts on Clive Walford?
All right, go ahead, Gilhart.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Neil Dutton, also a friend of the program, and Marcus, you and I have both been on his podcast
right? Yes, the MDDF, Maines and Dutton Talk Football.
Friends across the pond who are big NFL fans.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
That's awesome.
So Mainsy and Dutton discuss football, big podcast.
Clive Walford's really interesting because he came out of Miami last year, is a big athletic tight end. Didn't do a lot in his first year in Oakland, but as we always say, tight ends don't do a lot in year one. However, he seems to be getting the hype moving forward this year. He's developed. Oh, yeah. Now you got Cooper, Crabtree, maybe another running back in back. He's obviously not going to be, I'm not picking him to go, obviously he's finishing the top 10 immediately, but he's a guy that you could easily take a shot on late in rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Very end of the draft. And hopefully get some decent returns out of him.
I like his ability. I like his talent. I have been burned by Raiders tight ends in the past. I was driving the Brandon Myers train a few years ago.
You remember Ricky Dudley?
Ricky Dudley?
Yeah.
And then last year I tried to get on board with the whole Michael Rivera thing, and then Clive Walford started to pop up. And what has concerned me about Clive Walford this year?
All right.
Maybe it's just draft rumblings, but talk that maybe they look at Austin Hooper out of Stanford as another tight end.
Oh.
So, again, that could just be a rumor. That could just be smoke. But I like Walford's ability. I just wonder about his opportunity.
So,
No, you're right. Because, with Cooper and Crabtree and Latavius Murray, how many opportunities Will Clive Walford get? But I'll tell you this. The quarterback situation, they're obviously vastly improved. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of touchdowns being scored, I believe, in the Oakland offense. Clive Walford could be a beneficiary of that. There's no question about it. I love the talent level, too. I love the talent level from Clive Walford. So it's not bad. All right, let's get Daily Daps and get out of here.
Let's do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily Daps and Hub.
Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps. Daps.
Daily Dap time. We shall start with Michael Fabiano. What's up?
Well, since I haven't been here for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting with you, pal.
You guys for kicking butts and taking names over the last several weeks. But I want to congratulate my my friends, the Bella Twins, and the entire Garcia family. There is a new reality TV show coming out on E! Called Total Bellas.
Total Bellas.
So it's kind of a spinoff of Total Divas. Okay. So Kathy is their mom. She's in it with John Laurinaitis, who a lot of WWE fans remember from his days from being the Raw GM and People Power. Great guy. JJ and his wife are going to be on it as well. That's Nikki and Bree's brother. So congratulations to them. Brian's going to be on there. Brian Danielson, as you know, Daniel Bryan. John Cena is going to be on there
okay.
as well. So congratulations to those guys, and hopefully the show does very well. They're very big Eagles fans in that family.
All right.
Big Eagles fans.
Marcus Grant.
I'm staying with the TV theme, and I want a Daily Dap the second season of Better Call Saul. And
I didn't see yesterday.
I won't spoil anything.
It has been great.
I won't spoil anything. I think Alex, you might adapt it at the start of the season. Now
I think I've adapted a couple times.
the season finale was last night. I watched it. It was fantastic. You know, you're still waiting to see when and how Jimmy McGill becomes Saul Goodman, but all the pieces seem to be falling into place, and I am itching to see what happens in season.
That's like the first thing I'm going to do when I go home is like watch that.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to see it.
WizKid, what's up?
Well, as I mentioned off the top, I was at Coachella this past weekend, which was a lot of fun. Not my scene. I think I might be one and done at Coachella, but
okay.
I did fulfill a lifelong goal of seeing Guns N' Roses play live, and they were fantastic. They were mixed reviews, but I thought they were great. Axl took a couple songs to warm up. They played for like 2.5 hours. They brought out Angus Young for a couple songs. Which
they
was
played for 2.5 hours?
Axl Rose is going to be the lead singer for AC/DC.
Yep, exactly. Yep. That was rumored.
On a tour.
Because Brian Johnson's voice has some issues, so his doctors told him to stop. So Axl Rose is going to fill in, which is awesome. And then also LCD Sound System. It was kind of a Coachella of reunions. They got back together, and, man, were they awesome Friday night. So Daily Daps to them and the people at Coachella.
There was also a small NWA reunion.
There was a little bit.
Was there?
But yeah. Ren and Yella came out, and then O'Shea Jackson Jr. came out too. Dre did not make an appearance, but
all right.
They came out.
O'Shea Jackson is going to end up being in our Celebrity League, I think, this season.
Well, he did show up on the show.
Senior or junior?
Junior.
All right. I got two. The first one, music-related, Illmatic, came out April 19th, 1994. 22 years to the day today. Illmatic, one of the best rap albums of all time, in my mind anyways, by Nas.
Which is why I have no idea what that is.
I will say, about a year and a half ago, Nas was on tour. He was promoting the documentary Time is Illmatic, which is kind of about him growing up in Queens and what led to the album.
The QB!
So not only did they screen the documentary, but then he came out afterwards and performed the entire Illmatic album from start to finish.
Whoa.
That was amazing.
Hello. Give me some of that. I also loved it was a couple albums later, but Stillmatic was also very good. Very good. One of my all-time favorites, no question about it. I will also give a sports-related dap to Seth Wickersham. He's an ESPN senior writer, and I know we don't necessarily dap a lot of our cohorts across different platforms, but that's okay. Seth Wickersham wrote an unbelievable profile piece on Robert Kimdiche. And I thought it was really good.
Oh, I saw people talking about that on Twitter yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to read it. It was good?
It's Seth Wickersham. It's at Seth Wickersham.
Is this
the
where the whole Kimdiche wants a Panther thing started?
Okay. Yes. By the way, so Robert Kimdiche said he wants to buy a Panther.
Don't do it, Robert.
What could go wrong?
Typically when people like house wild animals, it goes.
But a panther, bro.
Terrible.
It's a panther, bro.
Just go see the Jungle Book instead,
I love
Robert.
It.
Just go see that.
Now, okay, so that's the headline, right? That's the headline, that Robert Kendiche wants a Panther. Okay. But when you get to the meat of the actual profile piece, very interesting dude. A philosophical thinker, an unbelievable athlete. But you kind of get a sense of what he's kind of had to go through. He's very self-aware guy, Robert Kendiche is. And again, I know we hear a lot about the draft process being a little bit weird. And I think the writer, Seth Wickersham, and Robert Kendiche do a good job of explaining why it is such a weird process and how a lot of these questions that these prospects get it would just not be cool in like a regular professional setting. So, but yeah, it's a really interesting piece. I highly recommend that you go to ESPN and read the piece. It's really, really good. All right, so there you go. That's our show for today. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, James Coe here with Marcus Grant and Michael Fabiano. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you.